Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. Now also podcast on comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined as always by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Hey, Chris.
Walter, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Chris.
Excellent. Hey, you know what? Before we get started here, I have to say that we have a guest co-host today. His name is James Harris, and he is a lucky winner of sort. He wrote to us saying that this was going to be his birthday today.
And he really wanted to be on the show.
He's an avid listener, and he wanted to be on the show. And
so in a moment of weakness,
we said sure, why not?
We said sure, yeah. Why not? Welcome, James.
Walter and Chris, it's really a pleasure to be here on my birthday. Thanks very much for the invite.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Absolutely, no problem.
James, today being Wednesday is your birthday, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's also the day that, as you know, of course, the new comics come out.
Well, it's interesting you should say that because James is a new comic reader. And so he's just figuring all this kind of stuff out for the first time.
Yes, he is.
It'll be great. We're going to get to James a little bit later in the show, and we're going to talk all about how he is a new comic reader.
Now, James, you're welcome to interject at any moment you feel necessary.
You're more than welcome to just be part of the show. No worries.
Yes. I appreciate the offer, but right now I like to bask in the glory of YouTube.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know. All right. Hey, speaking of basking, I have to say that, you know, I found out we have more listeners than I thought. I think we've got at least a dozen now.
Wow.
I know. That's crazy. Out. Yeah, I know.
So we're going to go viral soon. I mean, you've been viral before. I know that. Right? But we're going to go viral soon, I'm pretty sure.
Hey, listen, I had some penicillin. I cleared that all up. It's all good now.
Hey, again, today, new comic day. I'm just going to highlight some new releases that are hitting the stands today. Mighty Avengers number 31 hits the stands today.
Okay, now, why should I be impressed in any way about Mighty Avengers number 31 being released today?
Mighty Avengers is still...
Yes.
The whole Avengers family in Marvel is the most popular Marvel line.
Absolutely, yes.
Dark Avengers, Mighty Avengers. When Avengers hits the stands, fans want to know.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it really has proven itself to be a pretty good series, and especially now that we're seeing it's up to issue number 31, we're going on in its third year. Which means
relaunch.
Relaunch soon, you know. So look out, fans. You're going to have another number one coming soon, so you can buy lots.
Right. Hey, Wolverine Origins number 42.
Yes.
Hits the stands today as well.
You think they'd finish with this origin by number 42.
I know. Hey, how long is this origin?
It's an awful long origin.
Gosh. Anyway, that's pretty well Wolverine's second title.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Wolverine Origins.
Origins. Have another scotch. Well, he's also obviously prominent in all the X-Men titles.
Oh, absolutely. And in the Avengers, too.
Yeah. So you're figuring a Wolverine fan.
Yes.
He's reading Wolverine, what, nine times a month?
Probably nine times. Yeah. You're right.
So.
Well, but you know what? See, that's the thing that I liked about Avengers and I don't like about Avengers. I used to really like the fact that, you know, it wasn't all the mainstay characters. And now they've made it all, like, you know, the Wolverine, the Spider-Man, right. You know,
all-star team, which is
what, you know, the Justice League of America had for DC.
Yep.
So, you know, fair enough, they should do that for the Avengers. However, one of the things I always liked about the Avengers is that it wasn't the all-star team back in the day, right? Yeah, you know, had like Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Dr. Druid.
Right.
The Shroud.
Yes. Well, sales dictated the switch, I think.
Just because I like Tigra doesn't mean everybody else
does.
That certainly does not.
Fair enough. All right. Switching over to DC. Oh, Chris, I'm excited about this. Black Lightning Year One.
Oh, right on. I know you're a big fan of the African-American superheroes.
Well, yeah, in the 70s, it was a cool concept.
Yeah.
It was new, it was fresh.
Yes.
Might have grown a little long in the tooth by now. Now, Year One, you see, when you say Year One, I immediately think Batman, Frank Miller, Year One.
Right.
Massively. James, did you read Batman Year One, Frank Miller?
Absolutely. It was a
good
fantastic
stuff.
Read.
Excellent. All right.
Good. I'm glad
just
you
checking.
Liked it. Yeah.
Just checking.
Because do we need
a Black Lightning Year One, though, is my question.
Well, you know what? A lot of the major titles have gone through a Year One series. They went through a Justice League Year One. They went through Batman Year One. Why not
Black Lightning? Well, you just said it, though. A lot of the major titles.
Hey, you know what? You gotta aim high, right? You gotta if you want to be a big character, you gotta pretend like you're a big character.
I still remember. I think. Go ahead.
You know, as a new collector, the fact that they're going to year ones, it gives me an entry point. I feel it lets me look at the beginning of something.
Exactly.
It lets me grab an issue one and get excited about a new series for me, a new character I've never seen before.
Good point.
You know, that's a very good point. Excellent. Thank you, James.
Good point. Now I can't. Whenever I think of Black Lightning, I can't. I think I mentioned this in one of our earlier shows, but
yes.
I can't get past that SNL skit where Sinbad is dressed up as Black Lightning and he's trying to get into the DC party, but nobody knows who he is.
Right.
So they won't let him in.
You know, unfortunately, anyway. I also think of the SNL. When you say SNL skits, I think of when how they treated Aquaman. Yes. You know, hey, Aquaman, I think there's a murder out in the ocean. Why don't you go find it?
Yeah. Talk to fish. Talk to fish.
Swim, talk to fish. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Chris, here's one for topic. DC putting out today the whole Batman Battle for the Cowl trade paperback.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
Now, I mean, you and I, we've touched on Battle for the Cowl a few times.
Many times, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of what Morrison did with Batman to begin with, but I guess for the people that were ticked off and refused to read the Battle for the Cowl, now that, you know, they've cooled down a bit, they'll probably take up this graphic
novel. Now they can go and see what the big hype was all about, if anything, which is really I'm not too sure about, to be honest with you.
Right. All right, you know what? Busy show, new guests.
We got James here, so let's keep on going here.
Yeah, we're going to jump right in. James, usually after the new comics, we jump into industry news.
Are you pretending I've never listened to your show before?
Oh. Okay.
Hey, all right.
That's 13, Chris.
That's 13. I knew we had an extra. It's like a baker's dozen.
Right.
Yes.
And a pleasure to be here still.
Okay.
Thanks, James.
I do surf the net and look for, you know, interesting and uninteresting tidbits to pass along to the loyal listeners.
Why did you motion towards James when you said uninteresting?
No, I mentioned
I take that
toward,
very personally.
I was going
towards the mic, I swear.
Interesting and uninteresting, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's move it along. Oh, my God. You know how good I am with names, Chris. This is good. Shisha. Is a publisher in Japan. Basically, they're the big manga anime publisher that distributes a lot of their manga and anime through Viz.
Okay, right.
Viz in North America. Massively popular titles like Naruto, Bleach, Death Note, Dragon Balls. Well, it looks like they're first out of the gate. They are going...
I think it's Dragon Ball Z, not Dragon Balls.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
But that sounds like a medical condition. I'm sorry, you have Dragon Balls.
I'm here, I was just going to let that one slide.
All right, keep going. Come on now, come on.
Here's some Nivea.
Nivea?
Well, you know, to get the scales.
Oh, right.
To make them not scaly.
Sometimes when you think the joke's over, it just comes right back.
Here's some cream to go apply to that.
All right, let's stop. Okay. They are going to be the first, not the first, but they are trying to put their new manga right onto the internet, online comics, and they are going to start with Dragon Ball
Z.
Yes, and they're going to use Microsoft Mobile.
Oh yeah, right.
As I guess the platform. I'm not a tech guy. Yeah. I don't know. I would assume that they can go anywhere, but I guess they got to sign with somebody.
Yeah, well, they got to sign with like a major tech company, like, you know, Apple or Microsoft.
Right, and it reads on that the Microsoft is the fourth largest mobile phone operating system with 9%, BlackBerry being the biggest.
Right,
So I guess it's only available on Microsoft.
Well, it makes sense that it wouldn't be on BlackBerry. I mean, really, BlackBerry.
But why wouldn't these? Let's say it becomes popular. Why couldn't it be on Apple, BlackBerry, and
absolutely? And you know what? It should be. If the demand warrants it, that it could be that popular.
Right.
Then sure enough, it should be on Apple, BlackBerry, and Microsoft as well.
There's an excellent chance that all the different providers will come up with an emulator that allows them to run that.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, all right. Good thing you guys filled me in on that, because it doesn't make sense that I guess that they only distribute to 9% of the cell phones.
Absolutely, absolutely. And perhaps this is Microsoft's attempt at trying to show that they have something that the other people don't have.
So they want to
be
first.
Have access to comic books. Yeah, if you're a comic fan, right. come and get this particular phone or this particular app, right? They can provide that kind of stuff.
Okay. All right. More news from libraries, Chris.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, somewhere in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay.
A review committee has pulled, or is trying to pull, a graphic novel called Stuck in the Middle, 17 Comics from an Unpleasant Age.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is an anthology of stories about middle school, but there are repeated foul language, sexual references, and pictures of teenagers smoking.
Oh, my gosh, really? Yes. Wait, teenagers smoke? You're kidding.
So, well, this is the whole debate that this has aroused now.
Right.
Now, middle school in the States is like grade 7s and 8s.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So these are what, 12, 13-year-olds?
Yep.
The argument there by the writer is that, come on, at 13, this isn't the first time they saw a dirty word.
No.
Read a dirty word.
No.
Or saw somebody smoking.
You know, it would be nice to think that we live in a sort of utopian society where, you know, kids aren't subjected to smoking, to bad language, to violence, to pornography by the time that they're 13. But the unfortunate part of it is that they are.
Right.
Right? So, and this is nothing new.
But is the comic, is allowing them access to the graphic novel even fueling the fire
you know
even
what?
More?
If it's smoking and bad language, who cares? Really? Like, I mean, I don't think that seeing people smoke in a comic is going to make people want to go ahead and smoke.
But it's teens, Chris. It's high school, or not even high schoolers, pre-high schoolers.
Yeah, but you know, it's just because they're swearing and they're smoking, they're going to see that in movies. They're going to see that in
at home,
right? You know, it's not like it's not extreme violence. It's not pornography. Like, let's give ourselves a bit of a head shake here.
James, do you read any provocative material? Or comic-wise, like, what do you think? Oh, I guess what I'm asking your opinion on, are they being a little too Puritan with grade 7s and 8s here?
It seems to me that they're recognizing there's a problem, maybe, with the way, you know, schools and children these days, the amount of exposure they have to these things.
Right.
Now, are they taking this particular comic and using it as a scapegoat? Putting all the evils on it and saying this is the problem? Absolutely. And I think they're wrong in that.
Yeah.
But there's something that should be done, hopefully, to you know, help kids have a better chance of getting by.
Fair enough.
Right.
All right. Well, the debate rages. So,
sure.
You know, my personal opinion is that
do you think that they should offer these?
Listen,
kind of things?
I mean, if they're reading things at that age, I don't know. Even literature.
Absolutely.
You know, there are references to, you know, pardon my French, boobs and sex.
Yeah.
And drugs.
Are you trying to tell me that? Okay, look at the whole Twilight series.
Yes.
Are you saying that there's no violence or sex?
Oh, come on, Chris. I know. That's my point. My point is these kids are going home and playing, what's the real bad video games? Grand Theft Auto and stuff like that.
Right.
And
now they're saying you can't smoke? You can't see smoking in a comic book?
Right. Now, listen.
Oh, wait. James has something to say here.
You know, this isn't the first time that comics has been labeled as being the corrupting influence.
Right.
Right.
Fair enough.
So it appears that comics is an easy thing to focus on and to target. It's got that name where it can be labeled as the black sheep of this whole revolution,
need,
if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. We need Senate hearings, Chris.
Come on now. We don't need more 10-cent plagues.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to move it along now that our opinions have been stated.
Yes, very good.
I feel empowered.
Chris, this is a great story.
Okay.
Basically, down in California, down in Hollywood, a Spider-Man impersonator was arrested on outstanding criminal warrants after he allegedly slugged a man near the Hollywood, like a movie complex on Hollywood Boulevard.
What was it because of
now? Now, the great picture, it was in the LA Times, is two cops walking away with a guy in a Spidey costume in handcuffs.
Nice, that's awesome.
So the backstory here is that the guy's name was Christopher Loomis, that doesn't matter, but I guess this part of Hollywood Boulevard is where people come and they dress up as, you know, SpongeBob SquarePants, Spider-Man, all kinds of characters where tourists will walk by and they'll take pictures with them.
Okay,
right?
So
So I guess this isn't the first time fisticuffs or problems have erupted.
You know, I would love to see Spider-Man punching out SpongeBob SquarePants.
Well, no, it's more with the like SpongeBob. There was an altercation once with now where is it? Oh, there was a guy dressed up as Chewbacca.
Hey, isn't Chewbacca your favorite Star Trek character?
Yes, he is. There's a guy dressed up as Chewbacca who allegedly butt-headed a Japanese tour guide.
Nice.
Because the guy wouldn't give him money after the Japanese tourists took pictures of him.
Right. So these people dress up in order to make money.
Money.
Oh, okay, right.
And the cops have been called down numerous times to basically stop altercations and fights basically over money. Now, right. What I'd like to see, forget about the tourists, I'd like to see like a melee of the costume.
Awesome. I was actually just thinking they could use Batman there to bring some
Imagine all the coins that get tossed, though.
If you had some sort of, you know, okay, think about it for a second here. Think about it.
I'm thinking.
Okay, imagine if they had, like, you know, Slave Leia and Buffy and Wonder Woman and Catwoman all together in some sort of melee.
Then it's a great thing that they
you got to have a mud pit.
Yeah. You know, I would pay big money to see that.
Fair enough. Yeah, you know, you're right.
I think it's great that the police took Spider-Man away because it's one less competitor for me.
Exactly.
Whoa. All right. Well, anyway, next time you're down in L.A., Hollywood Boulevard,
check out the
please make sure you drop your quarters or your dollars to the impersonators.
Pay Chewbacca his dollar so he doesn't headbutt you.
No,
yes.
Butthead you, I believe, was the exact term used.
Sorry, butthead.
Butthead you. Yeah. All right. The closing note on industry news, I'm happy to announce my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, is now a full-fledged member of the Joe Shuster Awards. You are on the committee?
I'm part of the executive for the Joe Shuster Awards, which is the Canadian National Comic Book Awards Association.
So in terms of financial kickbacks, what are we looking at?
I get nothing.
Good for
you. That's fantastic.
it'd be nice if I did.
Hey, they get what they pay for.
I get nothing. You know, I do more mainly because for a love of the industry,
right? Explain to us a bit, Chris.
Sure.
I mean, we're honored to have a Shuster committee here on the show
co-host
of the show.
Executive.
What exactly is the organization about?
Well, okay, so you know, in any major media. You know, of any kind, whether it be movies, television, novels, anything like that,
right.
There is an awards that is presented. So,
right.
You know, you've got the Oscars for the major motion pictures.
Yes.
You've got the Junos for music in Canada. So basically, this is the Canadian version of the Junos for comic books.
Excellent.
So, you know, we every year we get
together.
What
are some of the, like, categories, obviously?
Yeah, so we've got, you know, we've got your best writer, best artist.
But they're Canadian.
But everything is Canadian. That's one of the things. There is in the States, they have the Eisner Awards, which they do kind of offer to some Canadians as well. However, we're keeping this within Canada. So we offer best Canadian artist, best Canadian writer for that particular year. We have a Hall of Fame Awards ceremony. We have a best graphic novel for independent publishers. So if anybody is an independent publisher that wants to get their name out there, they're more than welcome to submit a comic to the Joe Shuster Awards Committee, and they can win an award, and there's a bursary involved and that kind of thing. So there's certainly and there's prestige, and you know, and we do get play from, like, you know, we get Marvel has, you know, guys like what do you call it, David Finch, who works for Marvel.
Right.
Of course, David Finch is from Windsor, so he's Canadian.
Yes.
So Marvel has a bit of a stake in our organization as well, right?
Okay.
So it's a bit of a big organization. I'm primarily involved in media relations and in the Hall of Fame committee.
Oh, good for you.
You know, so we look at old timers. We have a stipulation that you have to have had at least something published at least 25 years or more ago in order to become a Hall of Fame committee member.
Oh.
So, which, you know, it sounds like a long time ago, but that's like 1984.
Yes.
You know, and which really isn't as long as I'd like to think.
No, yeah, you're right, right.
You know, so you're looking at, you know, you guys like John Byrne who've been inducted into the Hall of Fame in the past. So
okay.
It's sort of a big deal.
Congratulations, and I'm sure you'll do good work
with
that organization.
Well, thank you very much. We had our first meeting last night. It was extremely productive. We had a great time.
You guys drink a lot?
Maybe I had a glass of wine or two. Good that was you. About it, though.
All right. All right. Well, that will end today's portion of industry news, or sort of this show's portion of industry news. And we're going to move on to a topic I picked for some reason. Now, last week, Chris, you and I went over some Marvel tidbits.
Yes.
70 Marvel tidbits.
Yes.
And we touched on a few, and some of them are funny, some of them weren't.
Yeah.
And one of them was North Star.
Yes.
Being the first, I guess, gay Marvel superhero.
Yes, absolutely, right. Yeah. Which I think is fantastic that Marvel was able to put their best foot forward and have an openly homosexual hero.
Yes. Now, for some reason, I'm getting on the net, and I found more gay, openly homosexual superheroes.
In mainstream comics?
In mainstream comics.
Really? I had no idea.
All right. So I'm going to go over the list with you guys, and I want your guys' opinion on these things. Now, Hulkling and Wiccan.
Oh, Hulkling. He's from the Young Avengers.
Yes.
I did not know that he was gay.
Apparently he is.
Okay.
Hulkling and Wiccan of the Young Avengers are adolescent men, and they've been together openly gay since the formation in 2006. Now, this is funny. Wiccan was formerly known as Asgardian.
Come on, seriously?
Yeah. Asgardian, because he thought he was a Thor-like character.
Really?
Yes,
okay,
swear.
Come on. That's a little bit much.
No, and they changed his the name to avoid homophobic jokes.
Absolutely.
Which
absolutely.
I don't see any forthcoming here. So
no.
Now, the second one, Anole. Is that I read that right?
That's what?
Anole.
Okay, sure.
Anole.
A-N-O-L-E. Okay,
yeah, Anole. Yeah. He's in the X-Men family.
Okay.
Now, he, what does it say about him here?
Anytime now.
He had problems with his sex gender.
Oh, sorry. That's
With his homosexuality, and he took in North Star, I guess, came as a mentor. North Star was an old, you know what I mean? So they're tackling really cool issues here.
I got to give Marvel props for this kind of stuff because, you know, this is very, very cutting edge material that they're
talking about. Supposedly ready to commit suicide over the intolerance he faced.
Right.
But luckily, the writers changed their minds with the character and they gave him a gay mentor in the former North Star.
Right. So somebody to look up to who is, you know, of great stature in the comic book industry. Yeah,
you have to give Marvel, some good props there for not taking that easy way out on that and actually facing trying issue.
Because
there are a lot of
right.
young people who deal with very similar things, injustice, intolerance.
Yep.
You know, they could have made that issue something to, you know, like a morbid, solemn kind of thing. Occasional, oh my gosh, somebody look at
right.
somebody
and instead they're handing
instead,
a helping hand.
They did it the other way around.
Yes.
Which, fantastic.
Yes. Now, the hero, what he has is he has lizard-like qualities.
Okay.
Okay, so that's his superpower, in case anybody wants to know.
Okay.
How about this guy? I didn't know. Brian Fallsworth was Union Jack number 2.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
I did not know that. I remember Union Jack, the great character, the World War II.
Yes.
Like, basically, England's Captain America.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Although there was also Captain Britain, but sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
The English get two.
Yeah, they get two because they're very good. Yeah,
yeah, you know, and they're England, right?
Yeah,
and they actually, you know, got bombed by the Nazis.
Yeah, right? Britain didn't, or sorry, America.
America
didn't.
Yeah. So, he apparently he is an openly gay character as well.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now the problem is he's written into. It's not a problem, I guess, but my comment is that he's written into, you know, 30s and 40s stories, which. I can't see as being you can't write like a mainstream gay story set in the 40s.
Well, you know, the idea of having homosexuality being a big thing in the 40s is so alien to us because we don't know what it would have been like back then. It would be very hard for anybody now to read and comprehend anything that would have had a story around there.
All right. Now, Richtor and Shatterstar. are okay. an openly gay couple, too.
Richter they, is? I didn't
yeah,
know
Yeah, from X Factor.
And Shatterstar?
Yeah.
Come on.
I swear.
Shatterstar's the guy with, like, the double blades and all the, like, the boxing gear kind of stuff, right?
Yes, I think. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. That was Shatterstar. Yeah. yeah.
And that
the
was...
The double gay blade.
Okay, as opposed to Zorro the gay blade? Right, yes. right, right.
Okay.
very good, very
Sorry.
Good.
He was previously Richter has previously been portrayed as a bisexual,
right?
And
right.
Shatterstar as an asexual,
right? Right.
But finally, apparently, in an issue that I missed this year, they shared a passionate kiss.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
I was like Richter was like he was always able to cause earthquakes and things like that.
Apparently so. Yeah.
apparently,
Chris, apparently,
you know,
so.
I guess he,
especially in Shatterstar's world.
All
right. All right, hey, now, careful on the jokes here. The Ultimate Colossus is
yes.
openly gay.
Yes.
Okay?
All right.
Now, the Ultimate Universe, James, in case you don't know, basically, they parallel the Marvel Universe, but they start everything from scratch. They dumb it down a little bit, and they make everybody a little bit younger. It was
That's how I like things.
Yes. It was an easy jumping on point.
They redo it, the whole Marvel Universe.
Yes, and they redo the whole Marvel Universe. And in this universe,
yes.
Colossus is gay. Now, apparently, in this universe, he's enamored with Wolverine.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't be?
Right, yeah, well, fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, short, stocky, hairy guy. Yeah,
hey,
that's the way to go.
Hey, I've got a chance.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
All right.
So just do you have any more? I
got one more. I got one more. Sorry, and that is Lord Fanny.
Lord
this
Fanny,
is a great name
that's,
for
that's
a gay
a horrible
guy.
Name.
Yeah.
yeah.
Now, Lord Fanny is what the heck is Lord Fanny? Lord Fanny. Hold on here. I'm going to read it. Diverging now from the Marvel bias. I'm sorry, Lord Fanny he's a Brazilian transvestite.
Okay, great.
Okay, and you're cutting me off here, so just jump in and take it away.
Well, because James is here on our show, and we haven't even talked to the guy yet.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
You know, I want to get to talking to James for a little bit in our last 2 minutes.
All right, sorry.
So, James,
well, first of all, I'd like to wonder how Walt has all this written down on a cocktail napkin, and I'd like to see some facts checked.
That's a very good point, James, very good point. But James, I got to ask you, as a new comic book reader, is there anything that you're particularly fond of right now in the comic book world?
You know, I jumped into things again after taking a little break. When I was younger, I read Sabretooth and Venom and things. They were really exciting to me.
Right,
You know, just before high school.
Right.
And I kind of wandered away, and I got excited with the zombie titles that
are
being
produced
lately.
Right now, is there a particular zombie title that you're reading?
I find the Walking Dead series just wonderful.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, because Walter and I many times have talked about the Walking Dead and what a great story it is.
Yes, it is. Awesome. Well, we had the Zombie King here a couple weeks ago.
We did. We had a guy that actually wrote a book about all the different zombie movies. His name was Glenn Kay, and he wrote a book about zombie movies and zombies and things like that.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
Right. So you're reading Walking Dead, so now, as a newcomer to the comic book industry, well, really, I shouldn't say newcomer, as a returning newcomer, do you think that if you had something to say to people who are just getting involved in comics, do you have any kind of words of wisdom that you could say to them or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been to a couple shows now. Comic cons, and I've seen the hype of, you know, people running around and looking for specific issues and keys and things that are just big money and just pow, excitement for them.
Okay.
And that, I think that's a terrible place for a new comic book buyer to be.
Yeah.
Filled with pitfalls.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Yeah, it's
really
a great
is.
Place for you to waste your money.
It
Whereas
really is.
I think if I could, you know, give my voice of reason, find something you love, find a hero or a series that you enjoy.
Right.
Buy it for the sake of the comic and keep it. And get in that way. Don't think of comics as an entry level point to make millions.
Right.
Think of it as a great way to entertain yourself.
Awesome.
Good for you.
You know what?
Good
I couldn't have said it any better myself. You know.
Good for you.
So now, do you buy any back issues at all? Have you bought any kind of old comics or anything like that?
You know, I try to stay away from that. There's a couple romance issues that I pick up just because I find them extremely entertaining.
Yeah, the covers sell those.
Absolutely. Yeah, really. I may not have even opened them yet because they're just too good to look at.
Right. The covers are great on those. And Walt is actually a big fan of the
romance.
Charlton romance comics.
Kid after my heart, Chris.
Oh,
kid.
Well, you know, it's almost like you mentored him or something.
Yes.
Almost.
Oh, that's great. Well,
hello.
Okay, we got to end things off here, James and Walt. Anything that you want to say, James? Anything else?
As of right now, if you'd like some hardwood flooring or laminate flooring installed,
oh right,
come by the store and right. Get them to give me a call.
James is a does install laminate and hardwood flooring. That's all right. If you want to get in touch with him, you can get in touch with him through Bigby Comics. The mail and the email is mailbox@bigbycomics.com. My email is chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca. Go out there, support your local comic book retailers, read lots of graphic novels, find a hero you like, stick with it, don't do it for the money. Have yourself a great day.
See everybody next week.
It's a pleasure being here.